طلبا من الله إن الله يسير للعباد. أستغفر الله أستغفر الله وأسأله التوبة. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العبيد الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق الباري المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يصبه له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على
محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سيما بقية الله في العالمين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. الحكيم في كتاب المجيد وفرقان الحميد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. منيبين إليه واتقوه وأقيموا الصلاة ولا تكونوا من المشركين. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد
Respected brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you prosperous life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with his bounties and always keep you in the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam here and hereafter. Surah Rum, chapter 30 and verse number 31. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding to us, O my servants, O believers, munibina ilayhi wattaqu, turn your face towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nourish His fear in your hearts. Waqimu salata, and establish the prayers. 5 times prayers every day, that is wajib, and Friday prayers also, that is wajib. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us, wa aqimu salata, all the believers, establish prayers, wa la taqunu minal mushrikeen, and if you will not pray, very simple is it, you are not a Muslim, you are mushrik. So prayer, salat, that is the demarcation line between mu'min and mushrik. So anyone who is not sincere and not serious in his salat, so maybe he is calling himself Muslim, but actually he is mushrik. We need to keep this iman safe and sound, and that is possible only and only when we are praying on time, when we are trying to pray with full concentration, when we are trying to pray with jamaat and congregation, and when with the help of this prayer we are purifying ourselves. Because in chapter number 29 and verse number 45, Surah Al-Kabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab." So whatever you have been provided in Quran, the divine book, "Utlu ma uhiya," whatever has been revealed to you, sent to you, utlu, you have to do tilawat, you have to read Quran. So this is the first thing. Second thing, waqim is salata, and establish the prayer. So because this Quran is the message of Allah, and most of the commandments are given in this Quran, so when we will read and recite Quran, we will understand what is the religion, what is the demand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His servants. And then Allah says, you can keep yourself with Quran, you can stay with messengers of Allah and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa salam, with establishing of prayers. Waqim is salat, and establish prayers. And one of the benefit of these prayers is, inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. When you are praying, so this prayer is keeping away you from shameful and unjust deeds. So anything which is fahsha, which is munkar, which is sin, which is bad thing, which is illegal thing, which is criminal. So this is the prayer which is giving you force, which is giving you willpower, and then standing you away and keeping you away from the bad things. But sometimes people, they are praying, they are very, very regular and punctual in their salat, but after praying still they are criminal, they are sinner, and they are corrupt, and they are unjust. So it means there is no benefit of praying. Salat itself is beneficial for us, but that salat is with lot of conditions. If we are not perfect in our salat, in our prayers, we are not, first of all, that is that the important point is, when we are praying, at least our recitation, our qiraat should be correct. And we, most of us, we don't care about that. Whether we are reading wrong or right, we never try to sit with someone who knows better than us, and we should tell them, okay, please, can you listen to me whether my qiraat is right or wrong. This is the first condition. This is wajib, one of the wajib of salat. The person who was reading namaz, his qiraat should be perfect. This is the first condition. Secondly, that salat must be prayed on time. And usually when we are praying individually, there is no guarantee that salat will be accepted. But it has been given guarantee by Allah and Rasulullah. When you pray in congregation, when you pray with jamaat, and number of people are more than 10, then there is guarantee that prayer will be accepted. And angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are unable to note down the reward of that prayer in which there are more than 10 believers. So this is the guarantee where we can go and our prayer will be accepted. But whether we are praying individually or in congregation, we need to pay full attention. We need to know to who we are going to talk, and our prayer, our salat, all together, that is a dialogue between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we are talking with someone face to face, it does not mean we should not pay attention, we should turn our face, or we should not control our thoughts and brain to the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi.
So Allah says, inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Walidhikrullahi akbar. And this salat, this is one of the greatest remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is zikrullah al-akbar. So one of the beautiful, one of the most attractive and one of the most beneficent remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as a believer, as followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, well, we need to pay more attention and we need to make perfect our salat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you are praying, it means you are doing zikrullah, and this is one of the best zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows whatever you are doing. Whether you are just doing sitting and standing, or you are sincere and you are purified while you are praying, so Allah knows your condition, Allah knows your words, Allah knows your action. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, then there is no need to deceive anyone. We should not deceive ourselves, we should not deceive anybody else, and we should not try to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the habit of munafiqeen? So they apparently they were declaring they are Muslim, they are Mu'min. They were praying with Rasulullah, they were sitting with Rasulullah. But at the same time they were saying, we are deceiving Allah and His Messenger. Allah said, I know who you are, what is your reality. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Haleem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Haleem. He is tolerating these silly and stupid people who are trying to play game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, we should never try to play any game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe we should do less, but at the same time, once we have done something, we should try to be sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our in and out, our apparent situation and the inner situation, everything should be very, very fear with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So most of us, while we are preparing ourselves for salat, while we are standing for salat, usually we are sincere. But most of us, and most of the time, we are being hijacked by shaitan. On one side we start Allahu Akbar Takbiratul Ihram, and all of a sudden, our thoughts have been hijacked. We are standing on Musalla, we are reading Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, but our thoughts, our attention is not there. Why? Because our enemy is there. So one reason, maybe we were not well prepared before starting of prayer. There are different factors with which we can make ourselves, or we can develop the ability to stop away that shaitan away from our musalla, away from the mosque. But usually we are not paying consultation, we are not thinking about those factors, and once we have started the prayer, usually we are hijacked. This narration, this hadith has been narrated by our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Imam Bani Israel, Imam said, there was a person who was doing his worship a lot, and he was also famous for that ibadah. And all this ibadah he was doing in a cave. He was staying away from the people so that nobody should distract while he is praying. He carried on his worship, but his enemy, Iblis, Shayateen, they were upset. They tried their best to deviate his attention, but they were failed. They tried their best to make him lazy, not to pray on time, but always he was praying on time. When all of the traps of Iblis were unsuccessful, then he went on the top of a mountain and cried and shouted and called his companions, his minister, other shayateen. And then there was meeting. He told what is the problem. He said, this is a person who is praying. I don't like he should carry on his worship. But at the same time, I was unable to control him. So what should we do? One of them said, if you allow me, I will go. And with the attraction of these worldly things, I will try to deviate him. Iblis said, this is not a proper suggestion. Then another shaitan stood up and he said, if you allow me, I will go. And with the help of women and different lusty desires, I will provoke in him, and in this way I will attract him and I will deviate his attention from ibadah. Iblis said, this is not a proper suggestion. Then another shaitan, he stood up and he said, I think I can deviate him. And my trap will be, I will deviate this abid through the ibadat. This idea was welcomed by Iblis, and he said, I think this idea will work, and then he permitted that shaitan to go. So after sunset, this shaitan went to this abid and said, I am a stranger, I don't have anyone here, so if you allow me, I can stay one night with you, and next morning I will move towards my destination. This abid said, okay, no problem, you can stay with me. So in front of that abid, this shaitan, he was in the shape of a man. He done wudu and he started his ibadat. 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hours, and that abid was watching and observing without any gap, without any break, without eating or drinking anything. So he is going on, he is doing his worship. So after a few hours, this abid who was tired, so he wanted to ask some question to this shaitan. So he was trying to ask something, but he was not replying. After midnight, when he requested again and again, how you became so powerful and sincere in your worship? I have been tired. I was taking rest, but you, without taking any rest, non-stop you are continuing your ibadah. How did you get this ability? He said, I was a sinner and I committed fornication. I was adulterer. And when I am standing for prayer, because I commit sin, so that's why always I am trying to do tawbah. And for that tawbah, I am trying to do more and more worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you haven't done any sin. So that's why you are satisfied. Sometimes you are standing up, you are praying few nawafil, and then again you are taking rest. So if you commit a sin, then you will be able to do ibadat like me. So this abid was a very simple person, and he thought, this is a good idea. My ultimate purpose is to do worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why not I should choose this path? So this abid said to shaitan, your idea is a good idea. I want to follow this. But you know, I don't have money. I don't have skills how to attract the girls, how to make girls friends, and how to commit zina. He said, no problem, I will help you. So all of a sudden he picked up musalla and he had few golden dinar and he gave to that person. He said, okay, tomorrow, this is money, go in that mahalla and in that ward, there is a street, this is a house number, there is a woman who is a prostitute, and you can go and you can fulfill your lusty desire. So the next day, what is intention of person? Abid is trying to seek happiness of Allah, but how? Through the means of guna. He wants to improve his standard of worship through the means of guna. When he went in that area, in that street, the people observed him and all of them were amazed. Why this person is knocking the door of a prostitute? But they thought maybe he is here, he is there to do Amr bil Ma'ruf, to tell her not to commit this guna. He went inside, he gave that money to that woman and said, I am here to commit zina. That woman looked at his face and she said, you are not a person who has been involved in sins. I never saw you already. I think you are not at the right place. He said, no, I need to commit zina. Then she said, why you are here? Can you tell me your story? What do you want? Then Abid told her story, what happened last night. After listening that story, that woman said, I think someone who was worshipping in front of you was Shaitan. Pretending a good worshipper, he tried to deviate you from the right path. He actually wanted to involve you in the sins. So go. If that Abid will be there, so then you can come back and you can do whatever you want to do. But when you will go back, if that person is not there, it means that was a shaitan. And when that person went back, shaitan was gone, because he knew now his plan has been blocked out and the person knows what I was wanted to do with him. Next day, this woman who was prostitute, she died. And on her door it was written, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven this woman. Oh, the believers, come and join her funeral. But people were not believing. How is it possible? She was a sinner. How is it possible Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven her? Then after 3 days, when people did not give her ghusl and kafan and funeral, then after 3 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and asked him, O Musa, one of my kaneez and female servant is died and people are not giving her ghusl and kafan and janaza. You go, call the people and with all respect and dignity, give her ghusl and kafan and pray her namaz janaza. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam invited the people of the town and with the mu'mineen, with believers, and they prayed for her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave that woman. Why? Because she was successful that a good person, a worshipper, should not get involved in sins. She stopped to commit a sin. And she told him, "O the worshipper, you are here so that you should be able to do long, long hours of worship. But remember, once you will commit a sin, there is no guarantee that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your tawbah." So those people who are worshipping and praying salat and doing good deeds, alhamdulillah, they are good. But those people who are not committing sins, this is good deed, and this good deed is better than worship. Avoiding from sins, not committing a sins, this is one of the best good deed. So after committing sin, there is no guarantee that tawbah will be accepted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to stay away from sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the traps of Iblis and Shaitan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Illa al-lazina amanu wa amil as-salihat. وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم لك الحمد. بديع السماوات والأرض والجلال والإكرام رب الأرباب وإله كل معلوم وخالق كل مخلوق ووارث كل شيء ليس كمثله شيء وهو بكل شيء محيط. أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت الأحد المتوحد الفرد المتفرد. وأنت الله لا إله إلا أنت الكريم المتكرم العظيم. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى علي بن أبي طالب أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين.
اللهم صل على محمد.
وعلى الحسن والحسين سيد شباب أهل الجنة.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى محمد بن علي وعلى جعفر بن محمد وعلى موسى بن جعفر وعلى علي بن موسى وعلى محمد بن علي وعلى علي بن محمد وعلى حسن بن علي وعلى الخلف القائم المنتظر المهدي.
اللهم صلى على محمد.
وعدهم ظهورا إنهم يرونه بعيدا ونراه قريبا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم افتح لي أبواب توبتك ورحمتك ورزقك الواسع إني إليك من الراغبين. وأتمم لإنعامك إنك خير المنعمين. اللهم اجعل بقية عمري في أداء فرض الجمعة والحج والعمرة ابتغاء وجهك يا رب العالمين. وصلى الله على محمد وآل الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين.
اللهم
أوصيكم بتقوى الله ونظم أمركم. This beautiful advice of our first Imam for all of us, all the people: respect your life, respect your time. Plan this life and time and use this life in a beneficial way to serve humanity, to serve mankind, and to serve your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that cannot be possible until or unless we should try to be muttaqi. Taqwa is needed. Taqwa is demanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. we should try to have fear of Allah in our hearts. And with that fear, we should try to worship Him. At the same time, we should try to serve the mankind. And this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, we cannot inculcate until and unless we should develop another virtue, and that is haya. Haya has been taken from hayat, and hayat means life. A person is dead if he or she is without haya. Anyone who is not having haya is not having iman or deen. Our first Imam, Hazrat Ali ibn Abi Talib, he said, "Ghayatul hayai an yastahiyal mar'u min nafsih." The peak of haya is when a person should have haya from himself. You know, sometimes some of the sins or some of the things or some of the actions we are not performing in front of others, but while we are alone, we are performing those things. It means we are not doing haya from ourselves. Or again, it has been recommended, even when you are changing your dress and you are all alone, still you should not be naked. So change your dress in a way, and when you are changing your dress, whether taking off or on, you have to read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and at the same time, try not to be naked. Change your dress in a way, so your body should have some of the dress. It means the person should have haya from himself or herself as well. This is one side. In another hadith, our Imam said, "Al-haya min Allah yamhu kaseeran min al-khataya." And when person is alone and he is having haya from himself, at the same time he is or she is thinking he or she is alone, but actually not. Whenever we are all alone, our Allah is there. He is observing us. He is watching us. So Imam alayhi salam says, Al-haya min Allah, and someone who is doing haya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yamhu kaseeran min al-khataya, most of his sins will be washed or will be scratched away just having haya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, such a great deed, having haya. These days, our youth, our children, our people, they're not having haya in front of anyone. Not in front of parents, not in front of elders, not in front of teachers, not in front of Allah. But as a whole, every believer we need to observe haya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will help us to remove all of our sins. And Hazrat Ali alayhi salam said, so as a whole we must have haya, but Imam says there are three exceptions where a person should not do haya. What are those? Salasun la yastahiya min hunna. There are three things, three situations, three conditions, three occasions when one should not observe haya. What are those? Khidmatu rajul dhaifahu. Whenever you have a guest and you are serving your guest, do not do any haya in service of your guest. Mean maybe someone who is guest is stranger, or maybe he is poor, and you are thinking, oh, why I should go and sit in front of him and offer food and offer drinks and this and this. Maybe people sometime, due to our ego and these things, we are feeling haya. So here Imam says, whether rich or poor, closer or
stranger, anyone who is your guest, do not do haya and serve your guest. Number two,
wa
qiyamuhu an majlisihi li abihi wa muallimihi. And always, whenever your father, your parents are there and your teacher is there, your alim, your teacher, your father is there, wa qiyamuhu. So you need to stand up and do not have haya in front of other. Why I should stand up? So whenever your teacher, your muallim, and your father is there, you need to stand up. You need to show respect for your father. And number three, Imam says, وَطَلَبُ الْحَقِّ وَإِنْ قَلَّ. And wherever there is haq, he should strive to get that haq, even if that is very minute, very little. So for your haq, you must stand up, you must try, you must put your efforts. So Imam says there are three situations, three conditions. So you are allowed. You should not have haya. One is when your father or teacher is there, you must stand up. When you have haq and somebody has snatched and not given, you should try and put your effort. And number three, you should, when you are serving your guest at that time, you should not observe haya. Otherwise, in all situations and all of the time, we should try to observe haya. Without haya, we are not believers. We are not true mu'min, and we cannot attain our aims here and hereafter. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Inna shani'aka huwal abtar.
Allahumma.